Thanks for those who stayed. This has been an interesting annual meeting. Obviously, we have the weather challenges. This is probably the biggest weather challenge I think I have faced since I've been president anyway. I suppose we've had others over the course of the Farm Bureau, but I think we got through it very well with cooperation from Convention Center and Police Department here, and our staff doing a very good job, and our members seem to take it in stride, just like farmers and ranchers do anything else relative to the weather. We had a very good delegate session, I thought. We had to postpone starting. We went a little bit later than we had anticipated, but all in all, I think we managed to accomplish what we needed to. Let me just point to a couple of things that maybe were, in my mind, were some of the bigger items that our delegates did today. And I guess the first I would suggest is our sense of the delegate resolution relative to EPA. It was consistent with the theme of what we've been talking about a lot at this annual meeting, is the overreaching of the EPA as sort of an agency run amok. And frankly, we think it's very important to not let an agency, in many cases, legislate rather than regulate. And we, as I announced in my annual meeting address, we have filed suit against EPA regarding the TMDL rule for the Chesapeake Bay. We also are going to support oversight hearings, restrictions on funding for their ability to pursue some of these avenues that we think are excessive and inappropriate. And so I think that was a major theme for our members and leaders here at the meeting. We had a significant amount of time that we spent on the Farm Bill. At the end of the day, our delegates in general expressed support for the concepts that are in the current Farm Bill, which isn't surprising because it's worked very well and agriculture is in pretty good shape. Throughout the discussion, there was talk about budget, where we were going to be, and I think there is a clear understanding also from our delegates that at the end of the day, given what we believe will be serious budget constraints, we will have to be making decisions. The board will be charged with the authority to prioritize and make decisions relative to the sort of overall concepts that the delegates passed, supportive of the current Farm Bill provisions. Another component of the farm, I use this as number three since we spent a good deal of time talking about it too, and that was a farm program policy directly related to dairy. We had some good discussion there. We are going to be supportive of a gross margin program, much as proposed by the National Milk Producers Federation. And then we have a language, I think, that allows us to consider and perhaps work with National Milk in some of the other areas relative to milk pricing and some of the other provisions that are in the dairy policy. So all in all, I think it was a good session, and we do have more direction now, and we'll move forward in 2011 to try to implement those policies. Now I'll throw the floor open for questions. Oh, well, okay, we'll get up. We'll keep Anna from running around with the microphone too much. We'll come back up here.
The first one, could you give us just a little summary statement about this year's convention in terms of things like, you know, how many people did we have? You addressed the adversity of the weather, but, you know, what kind of special challenges did it present? And I was wondering if it was something that the convention's ever had to face before like this.
Well, I mean, there were obviously, I already talked about it, the weather was a negative to a certain extent. I was really pleased and probably not too surprised that our members, you know, every time you'd say something about a weather-related problem, like the shuttles couldn't run because of the ice temporarily, or, you know, some events were canceled, our members were just saying, well, that's the weather. You know, we have to deal with it every day. They were very accepting of everything that happened and the changes that had to be made. And fortunately, there weren't really any big changes. There were some smaller events that had to be canceled. We made it through our general sessions. Secretary Vilsack, I was backstage with him before he came on and really thanked him for, frankly, making a really double dedicated effort to get here, given all the circumstances for him. And Mike Rowe had come in early, so all that was good. in terms of numbers, I don't really know what the final count was. I know we had over 5,000 registered, and I don't know how high it got. I think we would have had more drive-ins had it not been for the weather. There were several of the state presidents from the surrounding states that indicated they were going to have more members coming in. But the mood was really good. I was really pleased with the mood and pleased with even the general session turnout. I was a little worried about that for Monday afternoon. I looked out from the podium across those chairs, and they were pretty full. I mean, we had most of our people there. So all in all, it worked out well. Okay.
Ray Henry, AP. One of the things you made is that when we're looking at the Farm Bill, there's a general sense that there's going to have to be federal spending cuts given the size of the deficit. That was telegraphed by a number of people, including Vilsack. In your Farm Bill policy, as it originally came from the committee, you talked about maintaining a strong safety net that consists of crop insurance and or direct payments. There's sort of a sense to Congress that there is some flexibility about do we do one, maybe the other, maybe one, not the other. What you got back from your members was basically saying we want direct payments, we want crop insurance, and we want acre.
And countercyclical payments. Don't leave
right.
that one out.
Yeah. Right, so fourth thing. One of your delegates even said the Christmas tree effect. You know, if we ask for the entire Christmas tree, does that eliminate the effectiveness? So what happens now? I mean, your members have told you that they want to keep everything in there. You're going into a position where Congress is looking at cuts. How are you going to navigate that? Your board is one that's going to have to implement this policy. What do you do with that? It seems sort of inconsistent with the two issues before you.
Well, I would point out that kind of, and I don't know that I view it as inconsistency, that type of policy kind of declaration by our members, it does give us direction. It basically says that our members like the concepts in the current Farm Bill. But throughout the debate, there were references to budget and what we may face. And I think our members have a clear understanding that at the end of the day, we are going to have to make decisions about priorities. We're going to have to make choices. And what the delegates did today seemed to indicate to me that they're comfortable with the board of directors exercising their authority to establish priorities and make those tough decisions anytime there's a major piece of legislation. They're comfortable with letting the board of directors do that. And then that's a role the board of directors plays routinely. I would have been maybe more concerned had our delegates said something just so specific and said this has to be this way, and then the board not having the flexibility to navigate and negotiate this process of the Farm Bill debate. So this isn't an unfamiliar place to us, and we will have in the morning at the board meeting a discussion about setting priorities for the coming year, and even that session won't be the detail that will be necessary for us to make a final decision on what a Farm Bill should look like. We did stay away from, supply management programs. That was clear, which was an affirmation of something that we had been debating last year and also again this year.
How about dairy? Did you remove a temporary supply
management? Yes, we will consider a temporary supply management program, and that's in the context, I think, of some of the discussions that have been held with National Milk Producers Federation and their proposal. And so we're saying we will consider it. Once again, that gives the board the leeway to work in detail with, say, National Milk and other parties as we go forward and try to write that legislation with the Farm Bill. I would characterize what they did as directionist to concepts, but also comfortable with the flexibility that they're willing to give the board in negotiating the writing of the legislation. Chuck.
I know it's a big contest here over whose hand is up. I'm hoping you can, I will ask you to discuss the change in policy on biofuels, where you went from supporting the excise tax credit to saying, you discontinue the credit and put it into infrastructure. I'm aware there seemed to be a popular idea at the when the Resolutions Committee met, but can you tell us a little bit about the genesis of this, and does this really mean, given the ease with which it was adopted, does this mean there's broad support for changing the biofuels program?
Change in direction with that policy relative to our past position on renewable fuels, the blender credit, tariff. We left that pretty much the same. You know, that's been evolving this year. The whole discussion has been evolving within the industry and within the Congress. There's been some of the ethanol groups have been talking about using dollars for infrastructure that could be taken away, if you will, or be substituted away from the blend credit, the VTEC. And so it's been out there and it's been talked about, a lot about, and obviously we have many members that are very close to the ethanol industry that own interests in ethanol plants and obviously provide feedstock for those plants. And so there is a great interest in how we can move forward with renewable fuels. So it doesn't surprise me that that showed up in our policy this year, and frankly, our members have said it's a good idea for us to make that transition. And I think part of that is a recognition that maybe that blend credit, you know, isn't serving as good a purpose as it could. And they also the fact that it is a pot of money out there that may be subject to budget reductions, and if we could shift that to infrastructure, you can make sort of a better public case or better make the case that that's a better use of public funds. I'll always let you have two questions. So that's...
Well, this is just like you ruled somebody out of order for speaking on the same subject, so I'll speak on a different subject. As you mentioned, the delegates during debate were, you know, listed five or six programs that they thought would be appropriate possible avenues for support in the new Farm Bill. Nobody mentioned the Permanent Disaster Program. Can we read that as a sign that Farm Bureau does not support renewal of the Permanent Disaster Program?
It will be up to the board to decide that, but I would suggest, yes, that it means that our delegates are not that interested in the Permanent Disaster Standing Disaster Program. That's exactly how I would read that. Well, I think the experience with the SURE program, which is the standing disaster program that is now, has been less than satisfactory for a whole host of reasons: timing of payments, amount of payments, you know, how it applies across the country. And so there was support for ad hoc disaster assistance, which is more targeted and more, you know, maybe timely in some situations, but our members did not include that as one of the principles, and so I have to conclude that they're not that interested in maintaining standing disaster program, and I'm sure the board will view it the same way.
Stuart Doan, AgriPulse. In any subject area that you want to address, what message do you want the Republican-run House and the Senate to take away from this policy session today?
Well, since I have suggested that regulatory overreach is one of the biggest threats facing American agriculture, I would hope that they would pay attention to the fact that we're willing to join in with those, whether the House or the Senate, who want to try to rein in this regulatory overreach, primarily from the EPA, but not only from the EPA. And so I think that is a clear message, and I think that will be received.
What about areas of spending reductions?
Well, we didn't have any specific priorities established by our delegates as to where spending should be reduced. We support a balanced budget amendment. We support no new taxes. We support spending decreases. And all of that will have to come together somehow if we're going to solve the fiscal issues facing this country, to make that happen. But our delegates did not give us clear direction as to how and when and where that should occur. I think we're still going to be, in fact, I know we'll still be engaged in the debate, and I think even internally we will have more conversations about how that could happen as we move forward and are faced with the budget reductions that will be necessary to put our fiscal house in order. Let me get to the mic so everyone else can hear you.
You talked about, going forward, we'll have to talk about budgets. In your view, from a farm policy, when's the first time you anticipate seeing some of the decision-making you'll have to make? Will it be budget reconciliation? Will it be a farm bill or something else?
Well, we've always, I guess, been aware of the fact that we could be hit with budget reconciliation and have to deal with a reduction in expenditures in the current farm bill. You know, I don't know that I want to predict how soon the Congress is going to do something, but we're aware of the very real potential that we will be faced with budget reconciliation at some point. And if not budget reconciliation, I think it's pretty clear that when we have to reauthorize the Farm Bill, that there will be a very large budget discussion around that. So we're anticipating that we're going to have to deal with that. And when the time comes, we will make the case for what we think is important for American agriculture. And we've always said that we're willing to take our fair share of cuts, but we have already been cut in the crop insurance program. Money has already been taken out of that program, which is part of the Farm Bill. And so, you know, we feel like we've already given, not to mention the fact that there have been reductions in expenditures just due to the nature of the programs and the higher commodity prices that we've experienced. And we're going to make that case also. One more? Uno más. Yeah.
Troy Lanninger, KICD, Spencer, Iowa. So what do you hope the young farmers and ranchers come out of this with? Do you hope, what do you hope that they can take from this and build on and encourage others?
Well, I hope in out of this whole annual meeting that they can be excited about the future of American agriculture. I mean, the economic, and I didn't get a chance to attend all the conferences and stuff. But I hope what they can take away is that I think there's a bright future for American agriculture and food producers, not only from America, but for all over the world, given the fact that we have to feed this expanding population and increase food production by 70% by 2050. And hopefully our young farmers and ranchers, and maybe this is a little selfish, will take pride in this organization and be involved with this organization as a way for them to participate as good citizens in society and advocate for the things that are important to agriculture. I love our young farmers and ranchers. I get to go to their national conference every year, and it's an enthusiastic bunch, and they're very excited about their future. And their future, they don't view it exactly how I viewed my future when I came in and worked with my father and joined the family farming operation. It's different for many of them. But I am certain that our young farmers and ranchers are excited and hopeful, and they have every reason to be, and we're going to keep encouraging them. All right. Thank you for staying as long as you did, and we look forward to seeing you and visiting with you through the course of this next year.